When Chester A. Riley was leading the hectic life of a bachelor, he used to look forward with pleasurable anticipation to those quiet, restful evenings he would enjoy at home when he got married. And now, after 18 years of married life, let's witness a typical evening in the Riley home. As Riley, supper over, picks up the evening paper with a sigh of relaxation, opens it to the editorial page, and then... But while Riley sleeps blissfully, he is unaware that the door is slowly opening. Slowly, inch by inch, the door creaks open. Suddenly, the barrel of a gun appears in the opening. A gloved hand is aiming directly at Riley's head. Into the room steals a sinister, masked figure. The gloved hand steadies the gun. A finger tenses on the trigger. And then...
All right, you rat. I've got you covered.
Dad! Don't shoot! Junior, you shot me. Just because I owe you 4 weeks' allowance, you shot me.
It's only a cap pistol. You're not shot.
Mm-hmm. Oh. What are you doing with that gun?
I'm just playing. I'm Frank Ferret, the private eye, and I'm out to get you.
Yeah? Who am I?
You're Bonehead Barney, the murderous moron.
Quiet, Junior. The neighbors will hear you. I mean,
how dare you?
What, didn't you ever hear it on the radio?
The radio. So that's where you get these crazy ideas. Give me that gun, Junior. I'm confiscating it.
Oh, no, Pa. Don't take it.
Let go of that gun, Junior.
Riley, Junior.
I said give me that gun.
Yeah.
Well, what on earth's going on here?
Somebody was shooting at me with this gun.
Oh, it's only a toy.
Yeah, it's lucky for me it is. But if this had been a real gun, I'd be a dead moron. I mean... He's got to stop listening to those crazy radio programs of his.
What's wrong with him?
Well, there's plenty of good programs you can listen to without that junk.
Well, like what?
There's dozens. I'll show you. I'll get you something really educational.
All right, dear Brad. I got you coming.
I'll get another show.
All right, you rat. I got that covered.
Wait. Let's try this station here.
Hi there. Good morning, Louisa.
There. That's better.
All right, you rats. I got you covered.
Wait a minute.
Won't you sit down, Angela? Thank you, Cynthia. What a heavenly morning. The heather is in full bloom on the moors.
Well, that's more like it. You see how nice they talk?
See, Angela? Thank you, Cynthia.
Now, you listen to that, Junior. You'll learn manners.
Now, shall we get to the point, darling?
You know why I'm here, darling. I love Sir Evelyn.
I know. But you forget, darling, he's my husband. And I love him, too. And I shall never give him up.
I'm afraid you'll have to. We leave for Paris tonight. Sorry, darling.
The English is so polite.
Never. I adore Evelyn. He's the father of my children. Rather than give him up, I will see you dead.
Cynthia, what's are you doing with that gun?
All right, you rodent. I've got you covered.
That's a losing fight. Did you ever hear junk like that?
Oh, I don't know. I found it kind of interesting.
Interesting. You're worse than Junior. Where do they get stories like that? So unbelievable. Here's this dame, just because another dame is in love with her husband, she takes out a gun and shoots her.
Well, any woman might if her home was at stake.
Oh, baloney. I'll prove it to you. I'll ask you one question. Suppose some woman was madly in love with me and wanted me to go away with her to, Pomona. Would you shoot her and risk going to the electric chair?
Why, of course. I wouldn't hesitate a moment. I'd let the hussy have it right between the eyes.
You would?
Yes.
Well, let's face it, I'm worth it.
Hi there, Riley.
Oh, hi, Gillis.
What's the matter, Riley? You look like you're thinking. Or is it a touch of indigestion?
No, I'm thinking. I just had a very odd conversation with Peggy. You know what she said?
How should I know? I ain't the kind of a guy who goes around snooping, eavesdropping on his next-door neighbor.
Well, I asked her what she'd do if another woman was in love with me, and Peg said that she'd shoot her and risk going to the chair.
Well, let's face it, you ain't worth it.
Gillis, you heard.
Accidental. Your walls are so thin, they're made of a very poor grade lumber. Look, I got a splinter in my ear.
Gillis, you've got no right hanging around my house.
Take it easy. I come over here to do you a favor. To give you this letter.
Letter? For me?
Yeah, it was delivered to my house by mistake.
Well, why didn't you come in instead of hanging around listening?
Well, you're lucky I listened, because when I heard the conversation, I figured I'd better give you this letter in private. Look who it's from.
Bertha Ferguson, Brooklyn. I don't know any Bertha Ferguson.
Think back, Riley. Think back to Brooklyn.
Well, I left Brooklyn in 1939.
Think further back. Let your mind run amok.
Well, I got married.
Later back tonight. Remember the Maple Avenue Social and Athletic Club?
Yeah.
Remember the hayride they had on the 4th of July?
Yeah.
Remember the girl you took on that hayride?
Yeah.
That's right there, your old flame.
Yeah.
She was crazy about me. What's she writing to me for after all these years?
Open the letter and find out.
Yeah. Wonder what... Hey, this letter looks like it's been steamed open. Gillis, did you...
Riley, what do you take me for? You think I'm the kind of a sneak would open up a private letter? Besides, it's a federal rap, 20 years.
Oh, sorry, Gillis. Well, let me see. You stand over there. I don't want you to see it.
Okay.
Dear Chester, I guess you are surprised to...
Hear from me.
Hear from me. While it has been much too long, however, it will not be much longer as I am making a visit to Los Angeles and we can have a good old
Reunion.
Reunion. We'll be at the Biltmore Hotel on the 10th.
11th.
Yeah, the 11th. Gillis, you read this. You did steam it open.
Accidental, I swear. I just happened to have it in my pocket while I was taking a Turkish bath.
You've got your nerve, you sneak.
Listen, Ray, don't worry about me. Worry about Boyton.
What have I got to worry about? I'll invite her over to the house.
Are you out of your mind?
What?
Don't you see Boyton is still madly in love with you?
Oh, no.
No. Look what she said to the letter. There.
It has been much too long. We have so much to talk about. Well, that don't prove nothing.
Read between the lines. Well?
Between the lines?
Yeah. Well?
It's blank between the lines.
Mighty, believe me, I know women. This name ain't coming 3,000 miles just to pick oranges. There's passion. Written through every line in that letter.
Oh, I can't believe it, Gillis. After all these years, how can she still love me? Am I so charming? Am I so attractive? Am I so handsome? You're right. She's mad about me. What'll I do?
Don't tell Peg she's coming. You know how Peg hates her.
She does?
Don't you remember the fight they had?
Yeah.
They was rolling all over the floor, pulling each other's hair. Because Bertha said she wanted to marry you, and Peg said she wanted to marry you.
Oh, but I was only 8 years old. Over 30 years have passed.
A woman is like an elephant. She never forgets. And if Bertha still eats the way she used to, she's an elephant.
Oh, well, this is awful. Today's the 11th. What if she and Peg meet? What'll happen?
Use your imagination.
I love Sir Chester. He is my husband, Bertha. And rather than let you have him, I'll see you dead.
She done it.
Done what?
Oh, Gillis, this is terrible. If Bertha comes to the house...
Don't give it a chance. Go to her place. To the hotel. Nip this in the bud.
But I can't do that.
You got it. Otherwise, they'll be at each other's throats like two tigresses.
Oh, Gillis. Why wasn't I born homely instead of with this face? Hello, Gillis. You ready? Okay, I'll meet you outside. Give me 5 minutes. I gotta sneak out. I don't want Peg to catch on. I'm going down to Bertha's hotel.
Oh, Riley.
Hey, she's coming. I'll see you outside.
Riley, I want... Oh, you going out, dear?
Who, me? No, I'm not going out. Where have I got to go? What gave you the idea I'm going out?
Well, you got your hat and coat on.
Huh? Well, naturally, I have to wear my hat and coat. There's never any hangers in the closet.
Now, look, dear, if you want to go out, you can.
Well, I told you I'm not going out. I'm not going anyplace.
All right. Then how about a game of gin rummy?
When I come back. I mean, later.
Well, then you are going out.
No, I'm... Yes. Well, just for a walk. Listen, Peg, what we talked about yesterday, about what you'd do if another woman wanted me, would you still do it?
What do you think?
I love Sir Chester. He is the father of my children. Rather than let you have him, I'll see you dead.
Oh, I gotta go. Listen, if somebody should call up Peg, I'll take it. Wrong number.
Oh, Riley, that was the doorbell that rang.
Oh, well, I'll get it.
All right, you rat, I got you covered.
Bertha, don't shoot!
Oh, Riley, it's not Bertha, it's Junior. And just who is Bertha?
Bertha? Oh, well, Junior, I told you to stop playing these crazy games. Where did you get that gun?
Well, I found it behind the radio.
Yeah, well, give it to me. This time I'll hide it where you'll never find it.
What's the matter with you, Riley? You're acting even stranger than usual.
A slip of the tongue, Peg, that's all. I'm okay. I'm perfectly normal for me.
Oh, what? Go for a walk.
Okay. Good night, Cynthia.
Oh, here's waiters. Room 1203. You all set to go in?
No, wait, Gillis. Maybe I ought to come back tomorrow.
No, you've got to stop this vampire now. You want it to break up your home?
No.
Then knock on the door.
Okay.
I said knock.
I'm knocking. Can't you hear?
That's your knees.
I'm so nervous, I don't know what I'm doing.
Riley, pull yourself together. Now, you remember what I told you to say?
Yeah. No, tell me again.
You got to do all the talking. Don't give her a chance to get started.
Yeah, but what do I say?
You say like this. Barbara, how long... Bertha, how long can love last? Everything is over between us.
How long can love last? Everything.
Then you say, it's only fortunate we found out before things went too far.
Fortunate before things went too far.
Then you tell her, it happened when we were too young to know what we were doing.
Too young to know what we were doing.
And then you give it the clincher. You say, nothing you can say can make me change my mind. Goodbye.
Nothing you can say can change my mind.
Man. Then you beat it before she gets a chance to try it.
Yeah.
Knock. I'll wait out here in the hall.
Yes, what is it, please?
Well, I've got, you see, ladies...
Chester! Oh, I recognized you the minute I heard your voice. Come on in, honey. Come in.
Listen, Bertha, I got something to tell you.
Sit down, honey. Give me your hat and coat. We got lots to talk about.
Yeah, listen,
Bertha. How is Peggy, that sweet wife of yours?
Everything is over between us.
No. But you've been married 18 years.
Bertha, how long can love last? It's only fortunate we found out before things went too far.
Oh, you can't mean it. What about your two children?
We were too young to know what we were doing.
Oh, listen, Riley, maybe if I talk to Ted...
Nothing you can say can make me change my mind. Goodbye.
Well, how'd you make out,
Renny? I don't know. I was in a daze. I said what you told me.
Good. What did she say?
I don't know. I hope it works. Oh, Gillis, marriage is one headache after another. If you ain't worrying about bills, you worry about the kids getting sick. And if it ain't the kids, it's your mother-in-law. And if it ain't your mother-in-law, it's something else. When you ain't worrying about another man breaking up your home, you're worrying about another woman breaking up your home. I tell you, marriage is horrible.
But you love it, don't you?
Yeah, that's the horrible part of it.
And now back to the life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley, where we find Riley's wife, Peg, carrying on a somewhat puzzling telephone conversation.
Why, course I remember you, Bertha. When did you get into town?
Yesterday. Didn't Riley tell you?
Oh, did he know?
Well, he was up to see me just now.
He... Well, no. He didn't tell me.
Well, I guess he was under the circumstances.
Well, what do you mean, Bertha?
Look, Peg, I'd like to talk to you about the divorce.
The divorce?
We can't talk about it over the phone. Can I come over?
Well, certainly.
I'll come over right away.
Well, all right, Bertha. Bye. Well, that's funny. I wonder who's getting divorced.
Oh, Peg, how's my sweet dumpling?
Well, your sweet dumpling just got a very peculiar telephone call, and I suspect you had something to do with it.
What phone call? How would I know anything about a phone call? I don't know what you're talking about. In fact, I didn't even know Bertha's in town. No, I take that back.
Riley, what are you hiding?
Now, wait, Peg. Let's keep our heads. Why get excited? There's nothing to get excited about. Absolutely nothing to get excited about.
Well, who's excited?
I am.
Riley, where were you just now?
Me? But nowhere. I don't remember. Wherever I was, I didn't go to see Bertha.
Now, Riley.
I didn't even go near the Biltmore Hotel. And I can prove it, too. Ask Gillis. He was there with me. No. Take that back.
Now, listen, Riley. You can't fool me. I knew you saw Bertha, and I want to know what it's all about.
Well, it's this way. Bertha, look, Peg, I don't like to brag, but when you first met me, you must have noticed I was, well, different from other men.
Yes, but I married you anyway. Now, what is all this about?
Well, it's nothing, Peg. Forget it. Nothing.
But why should Bertha phone me and say she wants to talk about some divorce?
Divorce? Don't believe her. You hung up, didn't you?
Well, no, I didn't. She's coming over here soon.
Well, don't let her in. I don't want to see her. I'm going out.
Riley, wait a minute.
Don't believe a word she says. No matter what she told you, remember, Peg, I love you. We'll never be separated. And if she wants me to run away with her, don't you worry. You're coming with us. Oh, what a mess. Bertha on one side of me, Peg on the other. This is the tightest spot I'll ever be in.
Don't you believe it.
Oh, it's you.
Yes, it is I indeed. Digby Odell, the friendly undertaker. Greetings, Riley. Your look... Riley, please change the expression on your face. This is my day off.
I'm in big trouble, Digger. Women. I'm telling you, one of these days a woman will drive me to my grave.
Not if I'm around, she won't. I'll help you if you'll state your trouble, dear chum.
You see, Digger, I've got two women crazy about me. My wife and my old girlfriend, Bertha.
I was in a similar predicament once. Lovely damsels were always fighting for my affection. For instance, I remember one little lady. Whenever she saw me, she would immediately drop the man she was out with.
Oh, you like that, huh?
Not exactly. She was working for me as a pallbearer.
Well, we're both nice fellows, Digger. Why did we have to get such a rotten break and be so attractive to women?
That's our curse. We're charming and gay. I dislike a braggart, but frankly, when I meet a woman, I send her out of this world.
What'll I do, Digger? I know that Bertha won't give me up. I'm just too lovable. And I know she won't listen to reason. She's too stubborn.
Ah, yes. A stubborn person usually comes to a bad end. Take, for instance, my friend Timothy Groot. I wrote a little poem about him. I quote, "Groot was stubborn. He wouldn't listen to reason. He wouldn't wear a coat in the cold winter season. Now snug as a bug is my friend Groot. But instead of a coat, he wears a mahogany suit."
Well, this Bertha's over at the house now, I think. She wants to make Peg divorce me.
What? And you left those two women alone under the same roof?
Well, I couldn't face that Bertha. I ran away.
Oh, Riley, that was the coward's way. There is a saying that we don't like in my profession.
He who fights and runs away lives.
Well, I can't go back home now. I just can't.
But think back. Those two women driven by passion, loving you, hating each other. Think what might happen.
Oh, Digger, what have I done? Why, Peg might... I gotta get home right away before it's too late. Come with me, Digger.
I'd better not. If they see me, it's liable to give them ideas. Well, cheerio. I'd better be shoveling off.
Well, the joke's on me. Here I rush out to stop you from taking off for Reno and you...
Well, I'm afraid I'm stuck with Riley for life, but I like it.
But I still don't get it, Peg. All those awful things Riley said at the hotel, it don't make sense.
Oh, it makes sense if you know what goes on in that so-called brain of my husband. He actually thinks that you're still carrying the torch for him.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Why, I just wanted to look him up and say hello for old time's sake.
Oh, I know, Bertha. You don't have to explain. And it was sweet of you to be so concerned about it.
Oh, well, I hate to see couples split up. I'm sentimental about marriage. I cry every time I get married. You know, Peg,
what's the matter?
There's something pressing against my back behind the cushion here. Why, it's a gun.
Oh, don't be scared. It's only Junior's cap pistol. Oh. That's Riley's idea of a hiding place. Oh, here, give it to me. I'll put it away, sir.
Hey, Bertha. Hey, the gun. Hey, don't shoot her. I ain't worth it.
Why, Riley.
Bertha, tell her you'll give me up. Peg, it ain't worth the chair. Don't do it. Wait a minute. Wait, I found it. I'll live 6 months with each of you. Only don't pull the trigger, man.
You actually think I was going to shoot Bertha? Oh, Bertha.
You're hysterical. Wait a minute. What's the big joke?
Oh, Riley. I was so
funny if you aren't.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Peg, you ain't going to shoot Bertha because she wants me?
If she wants you, she can have you.
Nothing doing, Peg. I've had 3 like him already.
But I thought Bertha was... You said she... Bertha, you mean I can stay with my sweet Peg and be happy like we've been?
Of course you can.
What a revolting development this is.